listening to the Daily Roundup here as part of the Reality Steve podcast. I'm your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. Good Monday show for you. We're going to talk about Gary and Teresa. As you know, the story broke on Friday morning. They appeared on GMA, told everybody they were getting divorced. Kind of went over why, but a lot of people are speculating. I'm not going to speculate. We're just going to go over what was given to us and kind of go from there. Not to mention, some of the people in Bachelor Nation are really piling on, which is, I mean, they have every right to have an opinion, but very weird to pile on this couple. I want to talk about American Idol because I am all caught up through last night. I know who the top 20 is. I'm not going to go over all of them, but I've got some thoughts on American Idol this season and just as a whole. And then we're also going to talk about Ryan Gosling hosting SNL this past weekend because I thought it was great. And Ryan Gosling is slowly but surely moving into the upper echelon of hosts on this show. And we'll get to all that momentarily.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
So let's begin talking about Gary and Teresa. They gave their official announcement on Friday morning in a sit-down interview with Good Morning America. When Good Morning America's Instagram account teased that the next morning Gary and Teresa were going to be doing a sit-down interview, they gave you a clip of Gary and Teresa sitting next to each other. However, that clip was from December, the day after their wedding. So they teased you with a clip that was 4 months old. They didn't tease us with the two of them sitting next to each other that we saw on Friday. The thing that I found really kind of disturbing about this interview, maybe not disturbing, I just thought it was totally classless and unprofessional. I don't even know who the woman was that did the interviewing. I probably should have looked up her name. But it was really weird if you watched the 4 or 5 minutes that was released online of the interview. And the woman said to them, "You guys just got married 3 months ago. What the heck, guys?" You know, kind of said it laughingly, but this is obviously a serious story. Whether you want to laugh at the fact they only were married for 3 months or not, there's still two people that did get married. It was a real marriage. I'm sure you've seen the marriage certificate floating around, and not the marriage certificate, but the divorce was filed on Friday. Gary filed for divorce on Friday, the day of the interview. So they were actually married. It's not like this was a fraud. They were actually married, and the interviewer is asking them, "What the heck, you guys?" Like, it's one thing to think that, but in a situation like this, where two people are sitting across from you that have just recently and just told you they are getting a divorce, the approach in the interview should be, "I'm sure this comes as a shock to a lot of America. We just watched your wedding in January. What happened?" Not, "What the heck, guys?" I can't believe someone on network television treated the interview that way. It's really, really bizarre. And she said some other things in there. You just have to watch. The 4 or 5 minute clip, I tweeted it out on Friday. And I'm just like, I cannot believe an interviewer handled it this way. Because that's something I think, as an interviewer, you would say to somebody who maybe was guilty of a crime or did something really stupid. or somebody that went back on their word, but they did something egregious. I mean, people get divorced all the time. This wasn't the worst divorce in the history of pop culture. If she was sitting across from somebody that had, you know, assaulted their girlfriend or their wife, I think it's very fair to say, what the heck were you doing? What were you thinking? Not to a couple that is getting divorced and that are 72 years old. Like, I'm stunned. I'm still stunned to this day the way she treated them. And like I said, she has every right to think that. I think a lot of people are thinking like, geez, what the heck? They got divorced? They just got married in January. We all watched it. But in that setting, you don't ask the couple that way. You just ask them, just kind of lay it out there. Yes, you can take what a lot of the reaction is from America, which is, wow, surprising. Didn't we just watch them get married? So you can take that and just say, hey, everyone watched you get married 3 months ago. This is a really short marriage. What happened? Not what the heck, you guys. It's almost like it's their fault and we're, you know, they owe us something. No, they don't. So when they went into their answer, and I think this is what everyone's having a problem with. And look, I'm sure stuff is going to get out later. I don't know what it is. But this whole notion that we, when we started looking for places to live, we realized we were both close to our families and we didn't want to move away from our families. Okay. That wasn't sprung on you. You knew that back in August when you guys met, when you guys got engaged. So it could just be a situation where once they got to the real world, okay, yeah, it was not something they were willing to do. But I listened to Gary on the After the Final Rose, and I listened to Gary on his wedding day when they televised it, throwing out every single superlative about Teresa and he can't be with her for the rest of his life, and I can't live without her, and all this stuff, and he lasts 3 months. Like, clearly it's more than we couldn't find a place to live together. We couldn't agree on it. We wanted to be close to our families. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn there. I think it's pretty obvious that there's more. What the other stuff is, I'm not going to speculate on, because I don't know. But two people that got married in January, you don't give up 3 months later. You just don't. You're going to end the marriage. Not, you know what, we have to take a break. Or we're deciding on what to do. Just end the marriage after 3 months. But, you know, a couple of people have chimed in. Ashley I chimed in and was asked to go on a podcast after she attended the wedding. And she basically declined it. And said, I didn't want to go because I didn't feel it at the wedding. And that's her feeling. She's allowed to feel that. She felt that. But she came down pretty hard on Gary and Teresa and said, again, if you guys are in love with each other, they sat there on Friday in that interview and said, we still love each other. It's like, it was very confusing. If you still love each other and you're still rooting for each other, why would you just say, but we're giving up on the whole marriage? Like, this is a real, if it wasn't a real marriage and it was a sham, then I'd be like, okay, well, it's easy to get out of it. You're not even really married. They were really married. So it's like, really, what happened here? And trust me, I do think a lot of the fact that they were rushed into this played a huge role. They met each other for the first time when she walked out of the limo. That was in August. They met in August, got engaged 30 days later, and then got married 4 months later. So yes, I'm sure when the show saw the ratings for this show, saw it was their newest hit on their hands, it was destroying Bachelor in Paradise. I'm sure when the show went to them and said, hey, we'd love to televise your wedding, and we all know the couple gets paid on top of it, I'm sure it was all kind of still in fantasy land for them, and they agreed to do it without really thinking of what this was going to be. Because you can't convince me this wasn't rushed. And it was rushed because the show was so successful. If this show had the ratings of Listen to Your Heart, there's no way they would have televised Gary and Teresa's wedding. Not a fucking chance. They televised it because it was the best rated show since COVID that this franchise put out. So, of course, they rushed it. So I'm sure that played a role. I'm sure there were a lot of little things that played a role, but I'm not going to speculate on what they were. I mean, that might be speculation, but it's also fact. They met in August, got engaged 30 days later, and got married 4 months later. I think that played a role in their breakup. Of course, Nick Viall had to also chime in while he was hanging out at Coachella this weekend. Somebody put a microphone in front of him. It was on people.com. And of course, he gives the quote. He's still loving the fact, coming down on Gary and saying, quote, maybe Gary's not as golden as we hoped he would be. So Nick is loving the fact, and he said that I guarantee more stuff comes out in a couple months. And it might. But again, why pile on? You know? God forbid Nick and Natalie ever got divorced and people had opinions and started spreading stuff and saying things that maybe people have heard over the years about that relationship. I guarantee he probably wouldn't like it too much. So, once again, he's allowed to say and do whatever he wants. It's his opinion. But as I say every time I relay a Nick story to you guys, the hypocrisy is laughable. I want to talk about American Idol because they are now into their top 20. I don't know how many are getting eliminated tonight. We had a 3-hour show last night. 20 people performed, 2 from each of the group of 12 that performed last Sunday and Monday were eliminated. I don't think we need to go over the names because you probably don't remember them anyway. I really didn't. And honestly, when I watch American Idol now, I watch every episode, but, and you could say like, well, Steve, how can you judge it when you're not watching the whole thing, which I'm not. I listen to about the first 30 to 45 seconds of somebody performing, and then I fast forward. And I usually just listen to what the judges have to say. And I'm, you know, music is subjective. I could say there's somebody on that show that I absolutely love, and you could say, oh my gosh, they're terrible, and vice versa. So again, when it comes to music, it is so subjective of what people like and what they dislike. Some people hate country, some people love country. Some people hate pop, some people love pop. Some people hate rock, some people love rock. Whatever the case may be, when it comes to this show, you know, I don't know how many seasons we're into Idol. We got to be over 20, right? With the original run and then the reboot. This is like season, 6 or 7 of the reboot, and there must have been 15, 16 seasons of the original. Here's the thing with Idol. There's two things that stick out to me. Number one, I don't like the fact that the judges don't criticize. And no, I'm not talking about Simon Cowell level of criticism. I'm not saying criticize their outfits, criticize the way they look. I'm talking about when he would, and I'm not even saying go as harsh as he did sometimes with his criticism of their music. And he would say that was flat out terrible. I think that's too harsh. They don't need that. That's just trying to get a soundbite. That's trying to grab attention. But none of these judges ever say anything critical about any of these singers. You know what the most critical thing a judge will say on this show is? They'll criticize the song. So if they know the performance wasn't good, they'll say, not sure that was the right song. That's about the strongest level of criticism anyone on this show will ever get. And I just think that's not enough. There are some singers out there, especially on this season, that in Hawaii and even last night were very, very average. It's just like, okay, you're just a person out there. You're just a singer that doesn't wow me. I'd love for one of these judges to say, I'm sorry, that didn't wow me at all. And I think you're a lot better than that. Or you've kind of gone downhill since your audition. I don't know. You don't need to criticize, like I said, looks or anything like that or what they're wearing. But it's too fluffy for me. I wish we could get some judges that were critical. And they're so scared because I think they feel like the second you criticize anybody, it's going to be kind of like, you know, in what I do online. The second I say something that's critical about a contestant that I'm watching on The Bachelor or Bachelorette, it turns into you hate them. It's like, no, I don't. I don't hate anybody on these shows. But I am going to constructively criticize things that I see. But they don't even do that on Idol. You watch. The worst criticism anybody will get, they'll judge the song choice. Which then in terms is basically saying, like, I didn't like you singing that song. But it had more to do with their singing, but they're going to blame it on the song. So it's really frustrating to watch that, because I really want to watch and I want to hear why a judge thinks somebody is better than somebody else. It's like they'll prop up the great singers, the ones that they really like, and then everyone else is just, I mean, how many times does somebody have to say, whether it's Lionel or Luke or Katie, and saying, you've got it, you've got that star quality. They say it to so many. It's like, no, they don't. You don't have 20 people up there that are left that have star quality. And speaking of star quality, I want to talk about my second point. There's no stars on this show anymore. None. Like, I can't think of anybody in the reboot. I know they said, even last night, did they say Chase Beckham had a number one song or something like that? It's like, again, I'm not tuned into the country world, so I don't know what's going on, and I don't know who's... I'm just trying to think. I think I would have heard it. I could be out of the loop. I could be missing stuff. Yes, there are people from this show, winners, and maybe people that finished top three who are still performing and, you know, doing concerts. But is anybody selling out arenas? Is anybody doing what the Kelly Clarksons, what the Fantasias, what the Carrie Underwoods, what the Ruben Studdard did at the time? That's what I mean. Like, this show has got good singers on it, but it has no superstars. There's not anybody that made the top 20 last night that I'm like, oh my gosh, absolutely 100%, they are going to be a star. I knew Kelly Clarkson was going to be a star, and I knew Carrie Underwood was going to be a star. Those are the only two that I knew for sure. I take that back. Fantasia as well. I didn't know about Ruben Studdard because I didn't know where his music would be heard. Because, like I said, to win on this show, you got to have songs, for the most part, at least back in the day, to be played on top 40, because that's where it's going to be heard a lot. Now, there's a lot of country that comes out of this show. So, yes, you can go the country route and do really well. But stars, I'm talking about stars that are doing tours and selling out arenas as a headliner. I don't think we've had anybody in the last 6 or 7 years that have done that from this show. But I could be wrong. Not saying, like, somebody might say, well, this person does this tour, and it's like, okay, but I need to see the seating arena. I need to see the seating arrangements or the seating capacity in the arenas, how many shows they're doing a year. Because they might be successful doing mini tours in, like, small venues, but I'm talking about Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood type success. And I just don't think anybody's even close to that in the last 6 or 7 years. And I don't know what the deal is. You know, it's a great start. Obviously, those women were successful because there was also 35 million people watching a week. Now they get 6, 7, just to the changing times of television. But as I watched it last night, there wasn't anybody that jumped out at me. It's like, this person is an absolute star. There are some singers that are better than others. I don't know their names just yet. I think the Tristan kid is going to do really well. Because he's memorable. That's the other thing. There's nobody on the show that jumps out to me as memorable. Except Tristan. Because he's 15 years old. And he's a black kid. Wears a cowboy hat and sings country. You just don't see that very often. So he immediately jumps out to me. Not to mention he's got that voice. Now, is he going to be a 15-year-old winning this show and touring the nation? Probably not. But he's someone that at least sticks out to me, and he's memorable to me. Everyone else just gets up there and performs and sings, and they're decent. I don't think anybody's terrible, but there are some performances that I'm like, okay, that was very, very average. And I just hear from the judges, just everybody is just, nobody did anything poor last night. It's like, yeah, some of them did. Or some of them were at least, not poor, but some of them were average. You could tell them, like, word it differently and just say, I think of the performances tonight, you might have been at the bottom. Because I really could see you doing a lot better than that. We've seen you do better than that. this wasn't your best performance. Something along those lines. And they just don't really say it very often. I'm not saying they've never said it. They just don't say it very often. And finally, I want to end with this. Did you watch Saturday Night Live this past weekend? Ryan Gosling as the host. I think that the monologue where he basically sang a song about playing Ken in the movie Barbie, set to All Too Well by Taylor Swift, might have been the best opening monologue song the show has ever had. Taylor, busy at Coachella, tonguing down her boyfriend, Travis Kelce at Coachella, still had time to take out of her day to retweet and repost Ryan Gosling's monologue song set to All Too Well. It was awesome. It was so good. And Gosling, just in general, as a host, he's getting up there in Justin Timberlake territory, where he's must-see TV when he hosts SNL. And I think the reason he's great, and I love it, is because he breaks so many times. I think he broke at least once in every sketch he was in. Meaning, he broke the fourth wall and started laughing. I'm pretty sure it was in every single one. And he is just, he's such a good actor. He's such a good comedic actor. I can't wait to see this Fall Guy movie with him and Emily Blunt. I think it's going to be really funny. And I just like him as an actor. And I've probably seen three movies that he's been in. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm a Ryan Gosling stan. I am a Ryan Gosling stan when it comes to him hosting SNL. I think one of his all-time favorite sketches for me was the Christmas sketch where him and Vanessa Bayer were pissed that Santa didn't exist. And they literally got mad and screamed at a Christmas party, "Where is Santa?" Like, that type of comedy kills me. I loved it. But he was so fun. That monologue song, I've watched three or four times. It is so good. Just, they did the timing perfectly. I mean, it's almost like, lyrically, they took what Taylor did in All Too Well and just almost did it exactly the same, other than changing the lyrics. But it was so good. And then, like I said, he breaks character in every sketch. And it's just, it's funny. Maybe it was a little overdone because he broke in every single one. It's just like, Ryan, come on. You're a professional actor. How do you keep laughing in every sketch? But he does. But some of the best sketches this show has ever had, the characters break in it. So I'm fine with it, even if he did it in every single sketch that he was in on Saturday. And then the other funny thing was the fact that Caitlin Clark was brought on to Weekend Update to call out Michael Che for his WNBA and women's basketball jokes. I thought that was a good touch. And to have her on tonight is the WNBA draft. She's going to be the first pick of the Indiana Fever tonight. I believe it's in New York City. That's why she was there. They brought her on. Good stuff. I really like that. But, man, Ryan Gosling and Justin Timberlake right now, my top two recurring hosts on SNL. He is that damn good. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Really appreciate it. Follow me on Apple Podcasts. Also rate and review. But you got to hit play. Doesn't count to it download in your feed every morning. That's not good enough. You got to hit play and you got to follow me. Please do that and go back and hit play on any episodes that you may have missed. So the Sports Daily will be up in an hour from now. Check that out. We're back tomorrow with yet another Daily Roundup. Thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. And I will talk to you tomorrow. See you.